There should really be a rule about saving the world before coffee. Not after coffee. Not instead of coffee. Before. Civilizations have been built on lower standards. I was halfway through unlocking my bookstore when the gargoyle landed on the hood of my Subaru. Not metaphorically. An actual 600-pound gargoyle. Stone wings, glowing eyes, terrible posture. The hood folded like cheap lawn furniture. I stared at my car. The gargoyle stared at me. Finally, I sighed. You couldn't have picked the Prius next door? It blinked. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that insensitive? Did I hurt your feelings after you turned my retirement fund into modern art? The gargoyle growled. I take that as a no. Most people assume that when confronted with a mythical creature before 8 a.m, panic is the appropriate response. Those people have clearly never been 52. By 52, you've survived teenagers, tax audits, online banking, and at least one doctor telling you to just reduce your stress. A gargoyle barely cracks the top 10. The thing launched itself off my car with enough force to rattle the windows. It landed 10 feet away, waiting, watching. Wonderful. It wanted my attention. I reached into my oversized purse. People always laugh at this purse. Until I pull out a crossbow. Then suddenly I'm resourceful. Funny how quickly opinions evolve. I loaded a silver bolt. The gargoyle tilted its head. You know, I said, if you're here to recruit me for another end-of-the-world prophecy, I'm going to need you to form a queue. It took a step forward. I've already got vampires on Thursday, witches on Friday, and my sister is visiting this weekend. Another step. Frankly, I'd rather fight you. It roared. Excellent! Communication! The bolt flew, right between the eyes. The gargoyle exploded into a cloud of black dust that smelled suspiciously like burnt cinnamon and poor decisions. I brushed the grid off my jacket. Well, a familiar voice called from behind me. You handled that better than last time. I turned to find Marcus leaning against the bookstore door, coffee in one hand and entirely too amused with himself. I distinctly remember helping. You distinctly remember watching. I offered moral support. You criticized my aim. It was constructive criticism. You were hiding behind a recycling bin. It was tactical positioning. I narrowed my eyes. He smiled. Infuriating, man. Beautiful smile. Still infuriating. He held out the coffee. I brought you a latte. I accepted it. I'm still mad at you. I know. I took a sip. This is exactly how I order it. I know. I frowned. You realize this is emotional manipulation. I prefer excellent listening skills. I hated when he had a point. The air shifted, warm one second, cold the next. Every instinct I had, the ones I'd spent 20 years sharpening, started screaming. Marcus felt it too. His smile disappeared. What now? I looked toward the alley across the street. The shadows weren't behaving correctly. They were moving against the light, always a bad sign. Please, I muttered to the universe. For once, let it be raccoons. It was not raccoons. Three figures stepped from the darkness, wearing expensive suits, which somehow made everything worse. One smiled. Ms. Bennett. I closed my eyes for exactly 1 second. No. I'm afraid we must insist. No. The council requires. I said no. He blinked. I don't think you understand.
Oh, I understand perfectly.
I took another drink of my latte.
You people only show up when reality is tearing open, someone's stolen an ancient relic, or you need me to clean up a mess you absolutely promised wasn't my problem anymore.
Silence. Marcus looked at them, then at me. That's oddly specific.
They've done this 6 times.
The man in the suit cleared his throat.
There is, in fact, an ancient relic.
I looked at the sky, counted to 3, finished my coffee, then smiled the kind of smile that usually meant someone else's day was about to become significantly worse. Fine. I set the empty cup on the roof of my thoroughly demolished Subaru. But this time, I picked up my crossbow.
You're buying me a new car.